We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What we should focus on is what we know. And what we know is that the discussions on Jack Eichel have increased over the last week since the last time we talked, to a point where I'm pretty comfortable in saying that Jack is going to be traded. But what we don't know is where. And there's a number of suitors. There are a number of teams that would love to add a healthy Jack Eichel, put an asterisk beside that, because we don't know yet what direction that part of this scenario is headed.
That is Darren Drager from TSN. He was on with the Instigators Friday. And if you missed the interview, it is available in on-demand audio at WGR550.com. Happy Monday. One of the things we're discussing, a report that the Bills are looking for a new stadium in Orchard Park on the, I like using the word footprint, by the way. I don't know why. It just on the footprint of the current facility.
It only makes sense.
You could just say they're going to build it where it is or next to the exit, but footprint sounds very, architectural.
What footprint, though? It's not going to be built on the stadium's footprint.
No,
because that means they would knock it down and build it right where it is.
I think the footprint, when I say, the footprint includes the current stadium and what? The lots owned by the county or whatever, that area around the stadium, like lot two and things like that would be the footprint, right? It's basically the land around the stadium that is controlled as part of the stadium, I think.
Okay.
Footprint? I don't know. I'll look it up. We've got some. So anyway, phone lines are open, 803-0550 to join us for that. We'll get connected with our fans, as long as I actually open my phone up. Get connected with our fans, brought to you by Bond, Shenick, and King, a full-service Buffalo law firm. Matthew tweeted in. So I tweeted out, they want a new stadium, supposedly, in OP, open air. Or at least an overhang, but not a domed stadium, not a retractable roof, any of that stuff. Your thoughts? Matthew said, as long as the billionaire owners fully pay for it, the stadium could be wherever they want it to be. Next tweet, an open-air stadium would make the venue less attractive to host other forms of entertainment year-round. Wish it had a retractable roof. That's been a popular response. Bills Mafia tweeted in, at least have a retractable roof. Chuck said, get a retractable roof. I definitely would have preferred it to be downtown like normal cities, but won't lose sleep over it. There you go. So that's just some of the tweets we're getting. You can join us, too, at 803-0550 or 888-550-2550.
Cost. Everything we should talk about should include cost.
Because who's paying for it?
Who's paying for it? And, when Lance Lysowski, Buffalo News, has a piece about the Sabres and the final days of Bottrell's tenure there and about being economic, efficient, and
efficient. What was the other E? Efficient, economical. What was the other E, Brayton? Three E's. Efficient, economical.
Effective.
Effective. Thank you.
Effective. Right. We forgot that one.
Yeah.
Effective.
Well, that one didn't seem to play out as well at this point.
Not yet. No, not yet. So money should be a conversation for every conversation about this because, as the one texter said, the billionaire owners have to pay. We're going to pay for it. I don't know how much.
Yeah.
Right?
No. Yeah. They're not. I don't think they're. It's.
I agree with the person that wrote in, but that's.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. I don't expect it to happen.
I don't know what's going to happen. We're waiting on a Jack Eichel trade that I also think has come down to a little bit of effective, efficient, and economic.
Hey, if the team that's trading for Eichel, can they throw in a few billion for the stadium or a few hundred million?
Right.
Well, they said, so the Rams new stadium was like $5 billion. Although they had some all extra costs because of infrastructure and where they were building. Anyway, $5 billion, it was completely financed on a private basis.
The Seattle Kraken, didn't they build their whole stadium, their whole arena, everything privately financed? Like $2 billion of private
finance? You got that one? I don't know. I don't remember.
I think so, but I'm just surprised Jeremy just said the K
word. Oh, you
mentioned he did say the Kraken.
He slipped. It's early in the week. He probably hasn't had his coffee.
I think he finally got over it.
No, I don't think he's over it.
I'm talking about something important.
I don't know, actually
not that important.
Well, I know the Rams were privately financed, and that's $5 billion. The Vegas stadium was about $2 billion, and that was a public-private partnership. I'd be surprised if there's not some kind an effort on behalf of, you know, the Pegulas, or I guess this Legends Global Sales would be their representative, essentially, that there would be some kind of an ask to the state, the county, the taxpayers.
I would be surprised
if this thing is entirely privately financed.
There almost always is an ask, right? Like, and I think for some folks, the idea of contributing to paying for a stadium makes maybe no sense, and I understand that. It might make more sense if it were going to be downtown, be part of, you know, infrastructure, convention center, building roads to this new thing that everybody's going to use. Then there's just, oh no, we're building it in the same spot right next to the one that currently works fine.
Or more use out of it. Like I said, the most popular response right now isn't, I don't want to pay for a new stadium. I like, you know, Highmark Stadium, just renovate it. The most popular response has to deal with a roof. And in part, I think some people are saying, well, listen, essentially, if I had to read between their lines, if we're going to pay for a stadium in some way as taxpayers, can you put a roof on it? Because would that mean you can get more use out of it? You'll have football games, concerts in the summer, and I'm not sure what else you're going to get out of the stadium at this point. So,
well, the question, I think the root question about the stadium is, how much different does it make the Bills' life? Does it just satisfy other owners? If you're building one effectively in the same spot, and it's not going to be a multi-use kind of thing, it's just going to be a little more covered.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. Like, it's the NFL. It's the biggest league in the country, and everybody makes a lot of money, and you've got to show off your fancy new house that you build. And, you know, if you have that money, you constantly have to showcase it. But how much different does it make the Bills' life as a franchise? We get a fancy new stadium to go to. Are prices higher? Are there – again, this is where renderings and ticket and important information is yet to be out there. How many seats will it have?
Right.
Are you going smaller? Are we talking about a 50,000, 60,000? I mean, right now we're at 73, right? You're definitely not increasing the size of the stadium.
No, I wouldn't. I'd be surprised if it's hot.
I think you probably shave it down to what? Mm-hmm. 68?
Okay, and then
66?
Out of the
66?
And what percent? I mean, are they all PSLs? Is it a percentage of the seats are PSLs? How many are PSLs? What's the pricing structure, right?
Yeah.
You make money off PSLs. That's what teams do when they build new stadiums. They make money off private seat licenses.
And is this the kind of thing where, again, they're doing all these studies, and I'm not someone that does these studies, so I'm sorry to just be the old, I'm just asking questions, but I'm just asking questions. Do you limit the number of seats to create more of a demand that, you know, is not an artificial demand, but to some degree it is, where right now you have 73,000 seats available? Is one of the roadblocks they have on charging more for the seats that there are too many available?
Yeah, if you ask me, my opinion is this is more about doing it for the other owners than it is about changing the life of the Bills. Now, the only way, how would it benefit the Bills? The only thing I guess I would think of, Jeremy, is does it create ultimately additional revenue for ownership that can get funneled back into the day-to-day operations of the franchise? I don't know how much that's a factor, quite honestly. I would think this is more about, well, the NFL wants new stadiums. That's what they do. Really, if you look around the league and, you know, everybody's changed over their stadium at least once in my lifetime. If you look around the league, everybody has had new stadiums, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, except Kansas City.
Green Bay.
And that's it.
But they've done major renovations.
Major. I mean, we're talking hundreds of millions of dollars. Green Bay did two phases. I'll have to look it up. I know we brought this up in the past about Kansas City might have spent like $500 million just to renovate the existing stadium. And as I said, Green Bay did it twice. you might say, oh, hey, guys, don't forget about Chicago. For me, Chicago's a brand new stadium. They kept the outside structure of Soldier Field and completely gutted the inside. So I look at that as a new stadium.
They might leave.
That's right. Now they're talking about going to like Arlington Heights and building another facility. Washington is trying to get a second new stadium in my lifetime. You know, they went from RFK Stadium to whatever it is now, FedEx Field, and which has been around 20 years. And now they're talking about a brand new stadium again. So I think this is less about making the Bills' life better and more about this is what the NFL does for its business. When stadiums get old, they want new stadiums and not renovated stadiums. And, you know, the Chargers don't renovate or get a new stadium, so they move. The Rams don't do anything with their arena stadium, rather, and they move. So I would guess it's more about ownership around the league, if you're asking me.
So,
I mean, the Bills sell tickets, right? You're going to the game, Jeremy, whether there's a new stadium or they renovate Orchard Park or Amway Highmark.
Well, I mean, it's going to come down to cost for a lot of people.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to the game either way. Wait a minute. Right. How much is my ticket now?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, they're going to go up, right? And if they reduce capacity, you would think, yes, if the supply goes down, in theory, the demand goes up and the price goes up, I would assume, to help pay off the stadium.
You would think?
I would think. Maybe they, you know, again, maybe they – it's not as much about an overall tax increase, and it's more about partly increasing your ticket prices, your concession stands prices, your parking fees, other ways where the team generates its own revenue.
Do you think this will be a fight?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
I mean, who's giving them money for this? Now, again, when do they start asking for money, too? Like you said, what's the next step? Is it design? Is the next step they start getting into negotiations if they haven't already? If their study came back and they decided new stadium is the way to go, have they already called the state to begin the whole, hey, well, we got you on the line here. How about getting some money for this? To me, that's like the ask. When does the ask happen? Who do you ask? And who's giving you money in this day and age? And or is it 2 years from now where you need money, since we'd be talking about a new stadium not opening until 25 at the earliest, more likely 26, 27. When does that start?
Well, one thing, Ron Rakuya, executive VP of PSC, told Matt Bove, I'm reading from the Channel 7 website, that, you know, there was the study they had. The study was completed. They went back to that study recently over the last 12 to 18 months, and he writes, because of COVID, because of some changing economics throughout the country, the league, we have since completed, let's call the revised study. Mm-hmm. We're looking forward to sharing that with our partners at the state and the county. So, right, according to a source, Matt writes, Erie County has no involvement with a potential partnership between Legends Global Planning and PSC regarding a new stadium. So, this consulting with this Legends Global Planning is about selling it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wonder, you know, like we have one texter who's right. He says, this is not a $2 billion stadium kind of market.
No.
You know, this is not Atlanta. This is not
Vegas,
Los Angeles. It's not Vegas. It's people like the stadium as it is. Right. Lots of people do. I'm not against the idea of having a nicer one, but there are so many questions that come with it. And it's almost, I mean, overwhelming is the wrong thing to say. It's there's a process, of course, to follow. And I guess the first two questions have been answered. Where will it be and what kind are you thinking with it won't be downtown, it won't be a dome, it won't be a retractable roof. And those two answers probably save money.
Yeah.
Are those two, I guess you would ask if those two answers are what changes from the study to the revised study, if either of them changed.
Yeah, you also wonder, you know, again, yes, this is being done in a pandemic. So how much did that affect? I don't know. Were they going to renovate? Were they going to do new? Are they now? I'm sorry, I'm laughing because I'm thinking about PSC. What did they just go through in the last year? They fired people in their company overall in PSC for sure during with the Sabres hockey ops. And they've talked about being efficient and economical. And even if there wasn't a pandemic, they were going to slash the budget with the hockey team anyway. And now you're over at the football team, which makes money, I'm sure. Yeah, I don't know. To me, the ask is really hard at this point because who do you go to for money at a time when, you know, we're, you know, with everything that just happened and the state and the county and the city and the taxpayers, like, where do you go for the ask? For me, I would like to know this, I guess, as a fan, as a taxpayer and a resident of the county. I would love to know, okay, what's the new stadium cost? What would have been the cost of renovating the existing facility? You would have to tell me, well, guys, if we renovate it, we're going to be in the same boat. What, 5 years from now, we're going to need a new stadium? Like, how long can you extend the life of the facility? Kansas City did. Green Bay did, although they did a lot of work at Lambeau. So I'd need to know cost, new, renovated, and how long can renovated make the stadium last? Because if we're saving money by doing that, who wouldn't be for saving money and having less expenses being driven right up by a new stadium?
And the story reported by Rochester First, reporting that Penn State and Toronto, both possibilities for a temporary home. Is this, not maybe not the first, but is this just one of these things that gets reported as a threat? Because according to the story, the Bills' new stadium could be ready by 2025. Again, we have nothing about like a lot of the particulars you just mentioned. But the team's lease expires in 2023. So the idea would be that while they were waiting, they would go somewhere else.
Right.
Which to me is, what's the word I want for this? Absurd?
Yeah, I honestly do.
You can't play the current stadium?
Unless, my thought was, does that mean they're tearing down the current, they're building it right at the current site. So you got to tear down the stadium. While you're tearing down the stadium, they wouldn't be able to play there for a couple of years. We need to find a place to put the team while we're tearing down and then building the new stadium.
At the risk of hyperbole, that sounds like the dumbest idea ever.
Right? Well, the other option then, would be to build it next to the stadium so you keep it in place. You just lose parking spots for a couple of years.
Right, right. So the idea is, okay, they're not going to literally tear it down before the new one's ready. You've talked about, the footprint, the whole area. So, okay, they start building another one. But the story as it's laid out, according to Rochester First, is that, again, 2025 is when the new one would be ready. 2023 is when the lease expires. Mm-hmm. So if they had to, maybe they would plan to go to Penn State or Toronto. Is that
a veiled,
leaked story that they wouldn't play at Highmark Stadium in 2024 because the lease was up?
But it's a threat for what is it? I mean, they're not moving, right? They're not leaving the city.
I don't know, to give them a sweetheart deal on 2024 for the 2 years to extend it, to commit to it as part of the funding package that they're going to want to ask for.
Maybe.
So as part of that, we've also agreed to a 2 year period. Right?
Yeah, I guess it could be a lease sweetener. Sure, I suppose. If you're not tearing down the facility and the Bills want a quote, better lease, then you would want to tell Erie County, hey, look, just so you know, while we're doing all this stuff, team might be in State College or in Toronto, so you're not going to get whatever revenues the county gets from the team being here for a couple years while we're building the new stadium. I suppose you could use that as leverage in lease talk. Sure, I hadn't considered that.
I just don't know why else anyone would give it a serious thought. I mean, maybe I'm just dismissing it too quickly. I have previously said I would eat a flip-flop if something happened, so I will not say I'll eat clothing, but the idea that they would play games in Penn State makes me want to say I'll eat my hat if that happens. Like, they're not playing games at Penn State.
I wouldn't. That's why I said why those two? Why wouldn't you just drive 2 hours east and pick a dome stadium?
Well, the relationship that the owners have with Penn State.
I know. Yeah, but still, well, what relationship do they have with Toronto anymore? Like, why Toronto?
It probably gets more money than Syracuse.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't see it as a threat. I read that and thought, okay, then that would mean they must need a place to play because their facility is – they're tearing down the current stadium.
And all this comes with – what also comes with this is claims that they need to do this to stay financially viable, right?
Well, that's what the league is going to say,
Yeah, the league's going to say that a lot.
It says that every time there's a new stadium.
To remain competitive.
Right. Yeah, right. Pretty sure they've remained competitive while hanging out in Orchard Park at Highmark Stadium with renovations over the years.
Texter writes in, what if UB shared the stadium? UB Stadium is not on the level.
He's talking about UB sharing the Bills' new stadium.
Oh.
Yeah, I think that more tenants, more activities, trying to get something. But, I mean, even if that happened, I mean, I'm all for UB football having success. What kind of money are you going to make? Putting 50,000 people in a stadium for a UB game.
And they just built a field house right next to their current stadium. Right. And, right. I mean, I just think if you want to get students to UB games, you don't want them playing in Orchard Park.
In Orchard Park, yeah.
You want them playing at UB.
Yeah, I wouldn't think it's not, it would not be a massive revenue generator to have six UB home games at a new stadium in Orchard Park. I don't know that it would make much of a difference. I'm not sure UB would be for it, quite honestly, leaving campus. 803-0550, 888-550-2550. The Bills' new stadium discussion is ongoing here on the show this morning. Let's see. Hey, you know, if you win $1,000, you could actually put it into the collection for the new stadium. It's our national win cash contest. We'll see if we can get you $1,000 today. All we do is get you a code word. If you haven't played this yet, it's very simple. They give you a code word, you text code word in, and hopefully you win. That's it. Sharp is the first code word of the morning. So that's S-H-A-R-P. Text SHARP to 72881. You have until 8 o'clock to text the code word in. Message and data rates may apply, as we like to remind you rather strongly. Please do not text and drive. That's why we give you extra time to text the code word in. SHARP 72881. Our National Win Cash Contest is powered by BetQL. Let BetQL's proven data and analytics help you become a better bettor. Download the BetQL app today.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Rams' new stadium was like $5 billion. Although they had some all extra costs because of infrastructure and where they were building. Anyway, $5 billion was completely financed on a private basis.
The Seattle Vegas, Kraken, didn't they build their whole stadium, their whole arena, everything privately financed? Like $2 billion of private
finance? You got that one? I don't know. I don't remember.
I think so, but I'm just surprised Jeremy just said the K.
Oh,
word.
You
he did say the
he
Kraken.
He slipped. It's early in the week. He probably hasn't had
slipped.
His coffee.
I think he finally got over it.
No, I don't think he's over
I'm
it.
I'm talking about something important.
I don't know.
Actually, not that important. Yeah, real quickly, Howard, if you'd give me a moment. Regarding the use of that word, we are aware of the situation. We'll continue to gather information, and we'll have no further comment at this
you
time.
You can't. No, what? No comment? What are you? Who do you think you are? You've got to answer questions. You just used the K word.
Please see my statement on the matter.
Brayton, we can't let him live on his statement, can we? We cannot let him get by with just a statement. I mean, you got to explain why you let it slip. Did you do it on purpose? Was it unintended?
We are aware of the situation. We'll continue to gather information, and we'll have no comment at this time.
Is this a philosophical shift? Are you now coming to grips with the fact that that team did come up with a nickname and you have to start using it?
Hey, Jack Eichel didn't get traded over the weekend. Thought that could have happened over the weekend, by the way.
Yeah.
Still
so,
close.
So this week, are we thinking?
Well, or? I mean, I heard days, not weeks. Then I saw Darren Dreger say maybe it will be a couple of weeks. So who knows? You might think you have a deal in place and then call everybody. Say, last call. And now the Blackhawks are reportedly in.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. So maybe it's hey, we're getting close with Anaheim or whoever.
Mm-hmm.
You sure you're done with this? Should I speak now or forever hold your peace kind of moment? And if they say, well, give me a day. Let me put something together. Then all of a sudden, you know, it gets put on the back burner. Then who knows if you got to tell Anaheim or whoever.
What is this, like last call at the bar? You get you dim the lights and you make the lights flash and people have to know they get in their drink orders right now?
Yeah.
Well, we're going to talk about the Ducks later this morning. Yeah, it's funny. We were going to get some guests on from teams around the league. We cover teams around the league that might be in on this, right? Kings, Ducks, Rangers, maybe the Blue Jackets. And I thought, we got time on this. And then all of a sudden, late last week, it was, this could happen soon. So we'll find out about the Ducks today and see if they, I don't know anymore, Jeremy. It's just a matter of who gives up, right? Who gives you the best package? Where do you get the best deal at this point? Mm-hmm. And you get whatever you can for this guy because, I think Paul and I might have been talking about this when he was sitting in and co-hosting and the whole idea of where do you trade him if you're Kevin Adams. I'm traditionally, a guy like this, I don't want him in the division because he's, Boston, no, because he's going to come back and beat your pants off. Well, I mean, pretty much wherever Jack goes, I think he's going to be okay. I think he's going to have a really good career. So at this point, who's giving you the best offer? It sounds like Kevin Adams would prefer to trade him out west, but you go with where you're getting the absolute top value because you are trading a top. This is not trading geez, think of a guy. I mean, it doesn't even matter who the guy is. This isn't trading Joe Q hockey player. This is trading a guy who can be a franchise cornerstone, is in the prime of his career, has term, and when healthy, is one of the top centers in the league. So, man, you don't take less because he's in the West.
Well, if you're the GM and deciding we won't trade him in the division, you are agreeing to potentially take less. Because saying...
Right, but don't, right.
If I won't do it in the division, you might be admitting, I don't expect to win this trade. Right?
Yeah.
If you thought you were going to win, you wouldn't care where
you
traded him.
That gets to the original discussion of, I don't know how you win this trade. Certainly not now. I mean, and I don't even know down the road. I don't know how you win this trade. I really don't. Like, they could get somebody's top prospect in an organization, a high number one pick, and one or two other parts. Even 5 years from now, I'm not sure how you win this trade unless these three or four pieces come in and turn you into a Stanley Cup contender. So I'm not sure how you win it. Yeah, I mean, if Boston gives you the best pack, I don't want to see him in Boston. He'll come back here and beat the living tar out of the Sabres. But if they give you a better package than the Ducks, all right, well, don't trade him to Anaheim. Get the best players that are out there. I mean, you're trading a huge piece. You have to maximize value on this asset, So I'm whatever. You just trade them to whoever gives you the best deal that makes this franchise much better going forward.
It's a waiting game, That's what it is. Reinhardt's a waiting game. Ristolainen's a waiting game. There was one.
What are the next pieces to fall after this, by the way?
Right. I think it was Chad DeDominicis tweeted over the weekend of Die by the Blade that John Gibson is in the mix. So if it's Anaheim, you'd be talking about a goalie coming back in John Gibson.
Well, and that's right. We're going to have Josh Brewster on at 9 this morning. He's host of the Ducks postgame show. It's got to be.
He is a 27-year-old goaltender with a no trade. You have to waive that. $6.4 million per year through 2027.
Ooh, that's a lot of money. To 27, that's a lot of money and term.
Yes, it is.
For an organization that thinks maybe UPL is going to be the guy in a year or two? No, thank you.
If he's in the mix. His last two seasons, his save percentage has been .904 and .903.
Yeah, not good enough.
Nowhere for $6.4 million through 2027. That's scary.
Yeah. Well, this is where it's the discussion. Like the Kings, okay? Let's say there were reports the Kings aren't interested. People are wondering, maybe it's legit, maybe it's a smokescreen. Look, if the Kings are in this, we talked about this weeks ago, right? If you call up the Kings and Rob Blake says, and Kevin Adams says, listen, we want Byfield as part of the package. If Rob Blake says, nah, he's untouchable. Well, Rob, have a nice day. I mean, there's nobody untouchable. If they're not willing to trade you Byfield, all right. Well, I mean, if you find out what, quote, the best offer is from the Los Angeles Kings, you get everybody's best offer. But I mean, if they're not willing to give up their best guy, you're giving up your best guy, Find somebody else who's going to basically, give up, pull blood from the stone. I don't know what other phrase I could come up with on a short notice. You don't make the trade for the sake of making the trade. It's got to hurt for them, too. They've got to give up the piece that they don't want to give up because you're getting Jack Eichel in the deal.
Yeah, it's one of the reasons that Anaheim is interesting. I don't think it makes a lot of sense for Anaheim if they trade Trevor Zegras as part of the deal.
Yeah,
I mean, I guess they have some prospects, but... a lot of these teams, you'd have to be really flush and find a guy that you're willing to part with. If you're like Anaheim, they're pretty much where the Sabres are and hoping to build and get better. And, of course, Eichel would help any team to do that. But you want to be careful you don't become the Sabres, which is getting Jack Eichel and having nothing else.
Yeah. Yeah, and then you have the you have him for 5 years. He's going to take up $10 million in cap space. And what do you have around him? And it sounds like they've got some, Zegras. Who's the defenseman? Drysdale, right?
Jamie Drysdale.
They have the third overall pick in the draft. So it sounds like there's stuff there that's potential there, to put a package together. But anyway, yeah, if you're trading your franchise guy, you don't just take the deal that is, how do I phrase this? You don't take the deal that is the best deal because it won't come back and haunt you. You take the best deal for the asset you are now moving out onto the market. And then you move on to, I guess, Reinhardt would be the next thing, and maybe Ristolainen after that. And all this should be done, before the expansion draft. So no more than
Well, that's
a month
one thing
from
you have
now.
To decide. Do you want to do it before or after the expansion?
Yeah.
Because who you get will determine who you expose.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I don't know. I would assume I'm expecting at the very least Eichel to be done before the expansion draft. See, in my world, I would trade Ristolainen too because I would leave Ristolainen exposed for the expansion draft. If I'm going to do that, then and protect the young defensemen, the three younger defensemen, I would try and move Ristolainen before the expansion draft. Reinhardt, I'm not sure what happens with that. I'm not sure how they go about that. He's not unrestricted, so they could always do the whole 1 year qualifying offer. I would think Eichel and Ristolainen would be done or should be done before the expansion draft.
Couple texts on this. You might have to take a bad contract back to get the best package. Reve's been talking about that for weeks. That's right. You might have to take a bad contract back. I don't know if the texts are saying that's what John Gibson is. It's a lot of money and a lot of term for a goalie. I just think the Sabres want to really, if they want to get economic, efficient, and effective, I don't know that a goalie with $6.4 million for 5 years is exactly who you want.
See, that you hit the key part on the whole, sure, you take a bad contract back, not for 5 years. If you and typically, right, you would take a bad contract back from a team that's a contender like Pittsburgh. I don't know. I'm not saying that they're talking to the Penguins. But a team that's good and wants to get rid of a guy who for a couple years left, but I'm not sure where Anaheim is going in the next few years with the Eichel trade, to your point, Jeremy. But if you're taking a bad contract back, this is not Bobby Bonilla. Don't take a contract that's over $6 million and is still 27, you said. That's too long. It's too many years to take, quote, a bad contract away from somebody, especially when it appears you might have an answer at that position in your organization who would be really cheap over the next few years. I want no part of that. A bad contract is give me a couple years, 1-2 years left, not a long-term bad contract.
Another texter writes in about the John Gibson idea, because goalie is a spot the Sabres will have to figure out who their guy is. It might be Linus Ullmark, but texter says, and if you guys sign your text, I can give you more credit and say, thanks, Bill, John, Jamie, Shirley, whoever.
And by the way, we're getting connected with our fans, brought to you by Bonshenick and King, a full-service Buffalo law firm. Thank you very much. Go ahead, sir.
All right, texter. So we see it with the Sabres. So when Gibson was signed, they were in a bottom of the league. How much of that is to blame on Gibson? Well, here's something on him. So according to hockeyreference.com, there's goals saved above average. There's quality start percentage. There are a little bit of beyond just save percentage. So Gibson signed an 8-year, $51 million deal after 2018. And so he signed it in August of 2018. He went on to have a good year that year and since has had 2 years in a row below goals save above average, or minus. He's had two flat out below average years, not good years. $6.4 million for five more seasons.
It's too much. It's too much.
It's not a good idea. Six more seasons at $6.4 million. the Sabres about to drift back to be the kind of team that says we've got to get a goalie, we've got to pay a big goalie. Gibson.
Oh, all right. That would be
that 8-year, $51 million contract. An 8-year. That is the maximum term with a no trade he signed with Anaheim and has had 2 years where, I guess I don't want to say like Jeff Skinner years because Skinner's failures are not all his fault, and I'm sure Gibson's aren't either. But here you have a big, long contract, and 2 years in, it's already not going well.
You'd have to, if they did that, you'd have to say, their line of thinking, I believe, would be, philosophically, or as we build this franchise, we need to get a guy in goal who we think can be our rock. So we'll trade. The trade will include John Gibson. We've got Eichel and his $10 million year coming off the books for the next 5 years. This is, I think you would be thinking, Reinhardt's not going to be here long term. Ristolainen has 1 year left at five, right? He's not sticking around for a next contract with the Sabres. So Skinner's still here. Oposo's got a few years left. I'm guessing if you made this trade, it would be they would look at it and go, this guy's a really big part of us turning this around. And it's okay. The contract for 6 years and 6.4 is going to be okay because Eichel's going off the books. Reinhardt won't be here. Ristolainen won't be here. Those are three big contracts. Dahlin then would be, well, Skinner's already here. I guess Dahlin would be the next big contract you'd be looking at.
Yeah.
And you get rid of those three guys. And but now you put in Anderson.
But if you take
Gibson, I don't know why.
But if you take a bad contract back, yeah. You don't take a 6 year bad contract.
No, it's too long. That's right. You take it for 2 years max, I think. Mm. I mean, that's just, you know, 1 or 2 years done. But I wouldn't take it. It just doesn't make any sense. Are we talking there's nobody else who you can get the best possible deal with unless you take John Gibson from Anaheim?
I don't think so. Then there's Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen.
Right.
If he is the future of the net for the Sabres, you don't want a 6 year contract for a goalie. So
that's right.
I don't know if he's in the mix to whatever. It would be scary if he was, I think.
You could sign what if you tried to sign Ullmark for a 1 or 2 year deal? It would cost what? Half that money? And he is here, and then maybe he runs with the job, or maybe he's just keeping the seat warm for Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. Why would you want to commit a 6 year deal to a goalie when you have one or maybe two options internal in your organization right now, internally? Doesn't make any sense. 803-0550 to join us, 888-552-550. The pandemic has created an unprecedented time for our nonprofit community, and this year, nonprofits in Western New York need your support more than ever before. So the Bills and Sabres are teaming up to host the first annual Give 716, July 15th and 16th. It will help raise money for charities in our community. Act now, as the teams are encouraging all charities in the 8 Western New York counties to register your charity by visiting give716.org. Give716 will help Western New York nonprofits raise funds that are critical to supporting the work they do. Again, register your charity by going to give716.org. Permit me, if you will, to do a quick shout-out. We don't normally do shout-outs on the show, you know, like anniversaries and birthdays, but this one's worth mentioning. My mother-in-law passed away on Friday night, and by the way, thank you very, very, very much to everybody who tweeted at us. It was very comforting for my wife. And I made it less than 10 seconds. Anyway,
right.
No, I've never been through this before, Jeremy. When my dad passed away 10 years ago, I was living up here. He's down on Long Island. He went through the whole in the hospital for weeks before he went. I literally went down there when my family said, come say goodbye. This past week at Millard Fillmore was really hard on the family. And I got to tell you, if you work at Millard Fillmore, if you're in management at Millard Fillmore, if you are in management at Kaleida Health, I'm going to tell you that the crew at the 2 Southeast are the most wonderful people in the world. Amazing. And I know it's their job to take care of people. I get it. My mother-in-law was in comfort care. She wasn't going to survive. We knew that. And they went out of their way they were respectful. They were caring. They were passionate. They were loving. I tweeted this out, and I mean this. It was as if they were all taking care of their own mother. It was the most important thing to do. Constantly check in, and believe me, we were at the hospital a lot, and they were always looking in on her. They did everything to make her as comfortable and peaceful as possible. And I mean, maybe this is what they do for everybody. Like I said, I've never experienced this before. I can't tell you how much it meant to us, you know, a family that is going through what we're going through, to see how much those people took care of her as she was leaving the world over the span of a few days. So we love you guys. Nick, Liz, Lindsay, I'm not going to get everybody. I apologize. Bianca, Rebecca, Elizabeth, the PA. Man, you guys,
well,
you're awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not surprised that you wrote down names. Because
my wife has the rest of the names. I just scratched the surface.
When you know, we've spent time at Children's for multiple reasons. Mm-hmm. And one of the things you come away with, I think, a lot is the people that work in that field. And, you know, I think about, you know, our babies when they were born, they're in the NICU for 8 days. And mm-hmm. the nurses that we dealt with in the NICU and people that work in healthcare and in hospitals and just like, you know, what they, I guess, my thing is that you're talking about, you got that experience and, you know, maybe they do that for everybody. Right. But the answer is like, their job's just, I always think about their job never stops.
Yeah.
Never, there's no off season. You know, it's just, it's always amazing that they're able to make people feel so comfortable and to help, you know?
And everything they see, everything they, I mean, I know, again, it's their job. Maybe they can mm-hmm. walk out of there after a 12-hour shift and shut it off. I don't know how you do that because of the suffering. Inevitably, you'll see, especially if we're talking comfort care, you know, at the very end of life. And just their attitude was amazing. They were just, even the PA, Jeremy, explaining everything, sitting there with us on a Tuesday or Wednesday and saying, essentially, the next 24 to 72 hours, this is what's going to happen. And making it as I said, respectful and as easy as you could make an experience. Like, I mean, it wasn't a shock. We knew she was going. And the woman was 92. I mean, she had a, believe me, she had a long life and a wonderful life. But it's still a difficult moment for the family. You yeah. went through a lot more than we went through. But it's just to do that on a daily basis. And I think they do appreciate it. I hope they do. If they don't, you have no idea your work, how comforting it was to the three of us at a difficult time. And that's, I mean, you can't put a value on that. It is, we are eternally, eternally, eternally grateful to all of those wonderful people.
Well said.
Thank you. Yeah, that was, we were thinking of just going in today and just like, hi, thank you. Donuts. I mean, what can I do? Pizza, wings, like our treat. We did make a burger run the other night and were able to treat a few people, which was just a small token of our way to say thank you. 803-0550 to join us. So we're talking about the Bills Stadium. The report that they are going to push for a new stadium in Orchard Park. And we're going to chat with the gentleman who had the report last week about the company that would be representing the Bills when it comes to selling PSLs, selling sponsorship, and actually would be ownership's representative in dealing with whoever you got to deal with in the process of building a new stadium. We'll get to that in a moment. 803-0550 to join us with your thoughts. New stadium, no dome in Orchard Park. What do you think, Bills fans? Grab a line. If there's anything else you want to get to this morning, that's fine too. We always love talking to you here on WGR.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.